Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom, friends. Thank you so much for joining us here. We are on day three of our travel article for the month. My name is Liz, and I'm here with Campbell and Lois, and we've been talking about Madrid, the amazing, fascinating capital city of Spain. And for the past 2 days, we've covered different places and kind of a whirlwind tour, because the actual article is a record of a writer who did it all in 24 hours. And so far, what we've covered is just the morning and the afternoon. And we haven't even talked about the evening and the nightlife yet, which is what our focus will be for today. But let's go ahead and do a quick review. If you have a copy of this month's magazine with you, we're on page 16, actually, for today's lesson. But we'll do a quick review, so if you can turn back to page 14 and 15 as well. Let's do a quick review, and I'll have Lois help us out here.
Okay. I'm glad to do that, Liz. I like our title, Liz. Of course, I think that grabs our audience right away when we started with Mad About Madrid. And I think we came to the conclusion this author is crazy about Madrid, and mm-hmm. we can understand why.
Because in a good way.
In a good way. Mm-hmm. That's right. He's enjoying his travels. I don't know for myself if I would want to limit it to 24 hours. I might like more like 36 or 48 myself. Mm-hmm. But it's good that we are able to touch on so many things here and share this with him. And I'm enjoying learning things that I didn't really know about Spain. Of course, we might have known a little bit about the fiestas, the festivals they have there. We also may have known a little bit that they have sleeps or siestas in the afternoon, but didn't really realize that it was totally a part of their culture mm-hmm. and an important part.
Mm-hmm.
So I like learning also about the Art Deco, and I don't know if any of our readers want to, but I myself went and Googled some of what they have as Art Deco in Spain mm-hmm. and in Madrid, and I also wanted to check out the neoclassical. Once you hit anything with neoclassical in Europe, it's all very much the same, and we actually have even some of it in parts of Asia as mm-hmm. well.
So we have all these beautiful artworks around, and we have also covered a lot of territory, I would say, mm-hmm. all within a few hours mm-hmm. on a very hot day, too.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think if we're at 2 in the afternoon or 3 in the afternoon by now, Liz.
Well, let's begin with the morning real fast. Let's recap. We started out with Plaza Mayor, and that's the main square, one of the largest in Europe, in fact, and you can find all kinds of things going on there, and it's a place where definitely you'll see locals and tourists there. So it's quite the happening place. And from there, the rider moves on through Calle Mayor, and you see smaller things going on because it's a very narrow area, according to its description, narrow confines, line 12. And you can find some souvenirs, too, with peddlers trying to sell their stuff. And not only souvenirs, but food items, such as horchata and coconut slices for a little bit of money. That's it.
I noticed that those two food items would be very good for the heat people are experiencing.
True.
Not only does it give you refreshment in a liquid, mm-hmm. but there's also that sugar hit right away that you're going to need when we describe what the temperature is in this city.
That's
obviously
right.
We're in the summer months.
Right. And we moved on from there to Puerta del Sol, where it was once famous for how the sun shone through the gate. But now, ironically, we now have a shadow cast by the clock tower. But it's a good thing that there's actually a shadow as opposed to direct sunlight, because how hot is it, Campbell?
Well, it's 120 degrees that day, so mm-hmm. it's quite hot.
Yes.
And so the author decides that rather than test his luck in the heat, he decides to visit some museums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's so cool about the museum besides the fact that there are great artworks there?
It's air conditioned.
Yes. 14 euros or $17.50 US dollars here. He was enjoying the cool, cool air.
Exactly. I'm thinking it's 49 degrees Celsius outside. Let's hope it's only about 23 Celsius inside the building.
Right. And all this was done, okay, going through the square, going through the Calle Mayor, going through Puerta del Sol, and going through these museums. All that was done in the morning. And now we're at noon, lunchtime, And he went to visit the famous Casa Labra. And it's a place that's been around since 1860. So you can try all kinds of stuff that's been in the recipes have been in the family, I'm guessing, for all these years now. It's a great way to experience the culture. Now, we did mention that if you're interested in finding out more about the place, at the bottom of page 15, under the dining section, okay, for two people, it's depending on some people, travel budget, you might find the price to be outrageous. But for some people who've done a lot of traveling through Europe, that's actually not too bizarre to be paying that kind of price.
Right, and you can keep it a lot less expensive if you've traveled a lot by doing the tapas, which they recommend.
Right.
And that does keep your price down.
There are other ways to travel and maybe not spend as much money, but depending on the kind of traveler you are, you may want to check out Casa Labra. And there's something for the adventurous and something for the conservative, if you want to try. The writer clearly had a good time because he had to hoist himself up from his dining chair and decided that he was going to do something about it. What was it, Campbell?
That's right. He says he decided to take part in the time-honored siesta that marks the rhythm of Spanish life.
Mm-hmm. So Spanish life, there's a rhythm. In every culture, there's a particular rhythm, different pace, different speed. If you go to different places around the world, you're going to notice how people do things differently. Some people do things in a quicker way. Some people take their time. And it's not always the same speed throughout the day. And part of the Spanish life is their siesta time. And so to find a place to go take a nap, he went through a couple places here. We see the Oriente Theater. We see he also walked past the Royal Palace. And he eventually finds himself at the West Park. And there at the West Park, there was a very famous, shall we say, monument there. And what can we see there?
Well, we can see something that probably many of us weren't expecting to see. And it was a gift from an Egyptian president. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Dibaud Temple.
Mm-hmm. From President Gamal Abdel Nasser.
And it was given in 1970, mm-hmm. but it's actually from the 4th century B.C. B.C., folks. So this is very ancient.
Mm-hmm. And in this park, you get to see something that old. But if you had to step back and take in the whole scenery, you see fancy, newer steel skyscrapers in the background. And this is where the writer decides to take his nap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we left him taking his nap there at the Dibaud Temple and under a fig tree. And now we're going to see what he does after. And we're talking about evening now. We are now starting on page 16. Expect a late night. Please follow along.
Expect a late night. As the siesta hour draws to a close at 5 p.m. and the city stirs back to life, I let my thoughts wander to the coming evening. Dexterous guitarists and fierce flamenco dancers draped in flowing shawls and dresses gather each night at the Corral de la Morería, a simple venue in the cobbled district of El Casco Viejo. I eventually settle on the most popular evening tradition of all, watching a soccer game. As I seat myself, my eyes sweep over the crowd. A soccer match provides the perfect opportunity to observe a cross-section of Spanish society. At 9 p.m., the bells of Almudena Cathedral chime throughout the city, signaling dinner time. Like their Portuguese neighbors, Spaniards dine as late as midnight, typically requiring the evening hours to digest a large lunch. With a now growling stomach, I return to an indoor market featuring a wide array of Spanish tapas. The market offers samplers of vegetable paella, fried bechamel, croquettes, potato tortilla, and boiled snails. A battered sign reads, "God sends those he loves to eat in Madrid."
Thank you, Brandon, for helping us out with the reading. So, expect a late night. In other words, a lot of stuff's happening in Madrid, even when the sun is, when the sun's gone down. And you can still expect a lot of places to be open. There's still places to go, people to see, lots of stuff to do. So as the siesta hour draws to a close at 5 p.m., so that's when people know that they, you know, need to start getting busy again, the city stirs back to life. And so the writer is thinking about, you know, what to do next. Okay, and then he has some description more added now. What does he say, Campbell?
Well, he says he lets his thoughts wander to the coming evening. So he starts thinking about the things and the people that he's going to see that evening. Dexterous guitarists and fierce flamenco dancers draped in flowing shawls and dresses gather each night, gathering.
Okay. They are there for this regular activity. Normally we think, oh, music and dance, maybe that's something more for the weekend. You know, something special. But in this case, no, this is an everyday thing. Okay, it's at the Corral de la Morería. Okay, and it's actually a simple venue in the cobble district of El Casco Viejo. Okay, so this thing of having music and dance, we think, whoa, but this is a regular thing. And it's so normal, so ordinary. And of all places, it's not as fancy, grand dance hall. It's actually at a simple venue. It's a very simple gathering place in a cobbled district. And we mentioned day one, cobblestones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is an old area where the roads are not paved in the modern sense, but you still can see the way old stones or brick-like, brick-shaped kind of a layout of the road. That's the kind of a place where you're going to see this activity going
on. Right. And it's even open air, Liz, which is surprising to me. It's not in a hall or something like that. It's under the stars.
Right. Out in the open. It kind of reminds me of certain parts of Asia where you go to the park in the evenings and there's stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the music and the flamenco dancers, they're such a part of the culture, and that's very ordinary. Okay. And even with that going on, the writer chooses something else. What does he choose?
Right. He says he eventually settles on the most popular evening tradition of all, watching a soccer game.
So not the music, not the dancing, but soccer. Okay.
Or football, as they call it there, folks.
That's right. So by saying soccer, we know, okay, this American writer is using the American way to describe it, but football in Europe. Okay. So he sits down, and then he lets his eyes sweep over the crowd. And when you let your eyes sweep over the crowd, what are you doing, Campbell?
That means you're just looking back and forth around at the people around you. And he says a soccer match provides the perfect opportunity to observe a cross-section of Spanish society. So he's people watching.
Right.
Exactly. And it really does. If you know anything about soccer, or as it's known, football in Europe, it is basically a religion, folks. And when they say about he's checking the crowd out, basically, it's because every age group will be represented there, mm-hmm. and everybody from every walk of life will be there.
Mm-hmm. Right. So regardless of what age group you're in, or maybe economic mm-hmm. or profession, whatever group you might belong to, you're going to find a representative there. Everyone's represented. Everyone's
exactly.
involved. And so in some ways you can say it's classless, maybe. By that mean, you know, you don't isolate a certain group. Everyone's involved.
You mix everyone together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Everyone's included. Okay. And so it's a great way to experience the entire culture and society right there through a soccer game, interestingly enough. And what time are we talking by now?
Oh, my goodness. Are we talking 9 p.m. at night?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he went from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. He went walking around. He saw the guitarist. He sees the dancers. And then he has a soccer game. Of course, the soccer game is not short. Okay. And by now, 9 p.m., has he had dinner yet?
Mm-mm.
No. What do we see here?
Well, he hears the bells of Almudena mm-hmm. Cathedral, mm-hmm. And that signals that it's dinner time.
Right. 9 p.m.
I just can't imagine the visual stimulation this guy has had all day. It's kind of shocking.
Right. Well, for me, what's even more shocking is, in addition to the visual stimulation, empty stomach.
Yeah.
Because usually when you, for myself, I think 5 p.m., I don't think about even the activity. I think dinner.
Yeah, but you have to remember he was sleeping until 5 p.m.
True. And I would wake up and think dinner. But that's just me.
I would think breakfast after that long nap.
So he makes a comparison here. Like their Portuguese neighbors, Spaniards dine as late as when?
Midnight.
Whoa. Wow. Okay. Typically requiring the evening hours to digest a large lunch. Well, there you go. Okay. Considering the fact he had to hoist himself from his seat at Casa Labra and he had that long nap. And now, of course, he's just starting to feel hungry. Okay. But midnight.
Yeah. So here we get a sense of the rhythm of the Spanish life that we were talking about yesterday. You mm-hmm. know, just the feel and the flow of how they live and their schedule. You know, mm-hmm. like in New York, people are very busy in the morning and then usually get off of work at, you know, 5 or 6. And mm-hmm. but, you know, there's a lot of hustle and bustle in New York as well. But it's very different than the lifestyle that they live in Madrid and in Spain.
Right. So if you're a visitor, be prepared. Dinner is much later. And if you're thinking you're going to show up at a restaurant at maybe 6:30 or 7, thinking that you're going to have your dinner at your, quote, usual time, the restaurant may not be ready.
Mm.
Gosh, I thought we ate late in Vienna and other places in Europe at 9 p.m. I've never experienced this late.
I'm thinking for myself, a 9 p.m. meal is what you call a bedtime snack.
Yeah.
You know, but not for them. So that this is the time where people around him are getting for dinner. And for him, he says, with now growling stomach. Okay, so he's now finally feeling hungry. And I'm on line 18 here. He returns to an indoor market. And what does he see there, Campbell?
Well, he sees a wide array of Spanish tapas.
Okay. Yum.
Tapas. Okay, that's something that started out definitely a Spanish thing, where you have little dishes, and it looks like lots of little food items.
Samples.
Samples. I'm trying to draw a comparison. It'd be kind of like doing dim sum mm-hmm. in some ways, mm-hmm. in Chinese style here. But tapas is, the menu is quite extensive. You see a variety of dishes. Right. And it's great because, especially if you want to explore and experience a culture, tapas, and when you're in Spain, you get to sample all kinds of food.
Yeah, they're wonderful. If you've ever had the privilege of going to a Spanish restaurant somewhere in the world, they will have tapas on their menu, and mm-hmm. they're a joy to enjoy.
Right, and mm-hmm. not to be confused with like a little appetizer.
No.
Okay, that's not what it is. It's not a little snack. These are just really nice dishes, but served in small portions.
Yeah, well, I think he describes it well in the next sentence. Mm-hmm. He says, the market offers samplers of vegetable paella, fried bechamel croquettes, potato tortillas, and boiled snails. So samplers, it's not quite an appetizer. It's a bigger portion than an appetizer, but it's not a full meal. It's just samples.
Right. So that's quite a wealth of variety there.
Mm-hmm.
You got your veggies, you got your meats, you got your starch, and boiled snails, too. How exotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, because in Spanish diet, they really like their beef and they like their fish and seafood. So
yes.
I can understand that being there.
Right. So normally for myself, I think of such fancy food items being served on huge trays and platters.
Mm-hmm.
But here you get to try them all in little plates. So that's quite an experience. And he sees a battered sign. Okay, a battered sign. What's first of all, batter?
Doesn't mean you dip it in batter and deep fry it.
No, nor are we talking about baseball here.
Mm-hmm.
But rather, when something's described as battered, that means it's beat up.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of not in very good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little old, maybe wrinkled, maybe falling apart. Okay, and what does it say on the sign?
Well, it says, God sends those he loves to eat in Madrid.
Oh. So if you get to eat in Madrid, consider yourself blessed.
Right.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Sounds We're going to hear really more about it, too.
Right. But the thing is, it's not over yet. It's not like he's going to have his dinner and then he gets to go to bed. No, there's still more happening. Dance the night away. Please follow along in the next section.
Dance the night away. Rivaled only by Amsterdam, Madrid proudly stands as the capital of European nightlife, inviting all to dance the night away. At 6 a.m., partygoers leave the dance floors, savor a traditional breakfast of churros dipped in hot chocolate at the Chocolateria San Ginés, and head, exhausted, to bed. Sitting outside San Ginés with an empty cup of coffee and saucer, I feel the Sandman weigh on my own body as I sink into the metro seat that will carry me back to the airport. I hear the distant clatter of horse hooves and the laughter of children, signaling the dawn of a new day in the Spanish capital and the end of my 24 hours in paradise. Madrid beats on.
You're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz. I'm in the studio with Lois and Campbell. We've been discussing Mad About Madrid, our travel article for March. If you have a copy of your Advanced magazine with you, we're on page 16. We're now looking at the second column, Dance the Night Away. We have another description of Madrid here. So far, we've seen it as a place full of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And the description seems endless. And now we're talking about the nightlife. Rivaled only by Amsterdam, Madrid proudly stands as the capital of European nightlife. Mm. That's quite a claim. Okay. Inviting all to dance the night away. So I'm a little surprised by this description. Mm, I'm thinking
too.
Paris, Rome, London. I'm thinking several other places around Europe that might want to contest this.
I'm also thinking that Madrid, from my own experience of being in Amsterdam, is much more family friendly. When I go through this article, it seems more family friendly for nightlife than Amsterdam.
Ah.
Mm.
True. So maybe that's because maybe it's due to this that they describe it this way because it involves everybody in their population, just like their football does.
Right. Maybe. So it depends on, I guess there are other criteria we're dealing with here. But anyways, the point is, you can find something to do in the wee hours of the morning. That's the whole point. And so, okay, we already mentioned dinner at 9 p.m., and now we have all this dancing going on. And at 6 a.m., mind you, the writer is still awake here.
Right.
6 a.m., what do the partygoers, what do they do?
Well, they leave the dance floors and then savor a traditional breakfast of churros dipped in hot chocolate at the Chocolateria San
Ginés.
Ginés.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, and my gosh. I can't believe
and
this.
And head exhausted to bed at the time when most people are waking up.
Yeah. But now you're wired because you've just had chocolate.
I know. And yeah.
But that sounds good. Churros dipped in hot chocolate.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
So, churros is this wonderful, the best way I can think of it, think of a very long, skinny donut.
Mm-hmm. But don't think of it as the ones you buy at movie theaters, because these don't taste like that at all.
No, it's different. But basically, think of something sweet, pastry-like, and long, skinny, and you're dipping that in hot chocolate. And it's not just at a convenience store, where you can buy a bunch of other things. It's a special kind of place. And it's a chocolateria. Okay. And this one specifically is the San Ginés. It's a famous place apparently in Madrid to get this kind of treat. Okay. And after this wonderful dish, people head home exhausted.
I don't know.
Surprise, surprise.
I don't know. The Canadian in me would need a side of bacon with that.
Well, a chocolateria is a great place to try out more stuff from Madrid. Definitely try the hot chocolate. And he's sitting outside San Ynez with an empty cup of coffee and saucer. Empty cup. And he's feeling the Sandman weigh on his own body.
Yes.
So, but that's just another way of saying he's feeling very tired, very sleepy. Okay. So then he goes to where? He now sinks into the metro seat. So what does that tell us?
He's in the subway seat.
Right. He's now in the metro. So he's sinking in. So he's not just sitting down. He's sinking. Okay.
Right. He's pretty exhausted. He has no, he doesn't have a lot of energy. So he's just kind of plops down into the
seat.
And
he's apparently headed back to the airport. I'm surprised he can find it.
So he's heading to the airport and he hears again. What does he hear? The distant clatter of horse hooves and the laughter of children. And that's what signaling the dawn of a new day in the Spanish capital. Okay. And this concludes his 24 hours in paradise. But Madrid beats on.
And now another travel writer is going to start all over again doing this.
Yes. So we've kind of come full circle. We started with the coffee and the horses and the children. And, and then he went through his day. And now we're back at the coffee and the children and the horses.
Yes, a full circle, as Campbell said. So, friends, what do you think about Madrid? Interested in checking it out? Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. And that's pretty much our time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for today's lesson. We hope you'll join us again next time on Advance. Until then, my name is Liz.
I'm Lois.
I'm Campbell.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.